Now in Simon Taf Nun Aleph, so the Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Hei, he lays out the important klal that kelim shenishtamish behen v'chamin, any utensil that was used with hot water, chamin is hot water, kifi tashmishin hechsherim. The way the tashmish was used, the way the item was used, that's hechsherim, that's how it's going to be kashered. In other words, im tashmishin bekli rishon, if it was used with the kli rishon, what the kli rishon kigon kaf shemagisim ba v'kadera, a spoon used to mix the soup over the pot, or a ladle to scoop it out while the fire is on, that's a kli rishon. Anything that's in hot water while the hot water is over the fire, so again, a soup pot or a ladle while the fire is on, or mixing, all that is a kli rishon, and tzarech lachshir in b'kli rishon, the way you are kashing it is by putting it in another kli rishon. If boiling hot water in a pot over the fire, that's a kli rishon, you dip the item inside. V'im tashmishon b'kli sheni. Hechsher b'klisheni. Let's say it's only used through a klisheni. So a typical soup bowl, you scoop out the ladle and you put the soup into the soup bowl. So that's already a klisheni. The soup pot is a kli rishon. The bowl is a klisheni. So since the soup bowl is only used in klisheni, secondary level of heat, so then the way you kasher it is also b'klisheni.
U'klishemishtamshin bo b'... What does that mean exactly?
Klisheni, if I were to take boiling hot water, if I take boiling hot water from a pot, I pour it into another pot, that pot's a klisheni, I could dip the bowl into there, that'd be kosher. I could also dip it certainly in a kli rishon, that would also work, but if I wanted, I could use it in a klisheni.
Does Eroi kli rishon count as kli rishon?
So look at the very next line. Klishim eshtamshin bo be'eroi shim'areb mekli rishon, something that was used by spilling over from kli rishon. So let's say I've got a teacup is a good example. So I have a tea kettle, that's kli rishon. I pour it now directly from the kli rishon into the teapot, the teacup rather, so that's iwur kli rishon as it goes directly from the kli rishon. As opposed to a soup bowl, I'm using a ladle. So the ladle interrupts the kli rishon and the bowl is only kli sheni. An iwur kli rishon is when you pour directly from the kli rishon into a second pot, that's iwur kli rishon. So what's the halacha? So again, the mechaber writes, it was spilled from a kli rishon. It's not sufficient to kasher through a kli sheni, a boiling kli sheni. You have to pour from a kli rishon or put it directly into a kli rishon. So in other words, if I have, let's say, I'm assuming my cup of tea, that cup is a iwri kli rishon. So putting this in, dipping into a kli sheni to be machshir, it doesn't work. If I dip it into a kli rishon, boiling water over the fire, dipping that to kli rishon, that works. It also works if I, let's say, take a tea kettle, hot boiling water, and pour it over the tea cup, that would also work because that's iwui kli rishon. That's how it absorbed the iser, so that's how it's going to be pulled, it's going to remove the iser.
I don't know if they did this case, can you use the iwui kli rishon? If something needs to be kosher in a kli rishon, can you use iwui kli rishon for that?
No.
When Shabbos, we heard that Eroi is like a clay.
Okay, it has ability to cook things, but doesn't have the ability to pull it, the tam that's there. I think they point this out even maybe in the Mishnah Berurah, one of them. Look at Sifkat and Mem Aleph in the Mishnah Berurah. He says this explicitly. Mem Aleph in Mishnah Berurah writes, La'aros alav, v'tzarech lizar, one has to be very careful, shelo yafsik ha-kiluach, that you don't stop the pouring. Meaning, let's say the tea kettle is very high. If I go like that, and then pick up the tea kettle, so then the water is coming, flowing down, I stop it from the kettle, that's not good. It has to be directly flowing here. I can't, go like that and let go, and then mid-air, it drops, has to be connected to the kettle as I'm pouring it down. That's important, he says. And then he goes on further. V'da de'eroi lo mahani ela bezeh. Eroi only works bezeh she'tashmisho gam kein haya aidei eroi. Only another item like this teacup that was used and became hot through eroi. About kli she'tashmisho haya aidei kli rishon. Something that was used a kli rishon like a soup pot. Lo sagi lachshir be'eroi. Pouring hot water doesn't work to kasher a soup pot. Ela b'kli rishon mamish. So that's your question. Mishnah Berurah says it doesn't work.
Yesterday Ben was talking about the instahads. I looked it up. So it's only the most instahads should have 200 to 202 degrees.
Ah. Uh-huh.
So
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so you would have to,
it wouldn't work.
You can take, what I did when I had to do it is I filled it up hot with the instant hot water just to get it at a hot temperature. It boils quicker.
Right.
You couldn't cottage it just from the instant.
Then you transfer it to a big bowl and that boils just quicker.
Yeah,
it just quickens the
pre. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it only gets usually 200 uh-huh. degrees. It's not good boil.
Okay. So then the Ramah writes, Kol HaKelim Sheyesh Ben Sedakim, if there are cracks in any Kelim, or Gumos, or some holes, or Chalud, or maybe there's some rust, V'hubesoch HaKli, inside the Kli, V'lo Yuchal Linakron Lunakoson, you can't remove any of the rust that might be there. So then the Lach is Ein LaHagilan, the Ramah says, Hagala doesn't work, V'tzichin Libun B'makum HaSedek V'Chaluda. So then you have to purge, you have to burn, use a blowtorch of some sort, or hot coals in those areas, to ruin and to get rid of and burn any of the chametz that might be stuck in those cracks or those holes. But the basic yisod is anything, the way something absorbed the iser, that's how you remove the iser. So it comes up a very interesting discussion is when it comes to braces and if people have bite plates that they eat with or dentures or teeth that some removable teeth. So what salacha do you have to take those out and kash them beforehand? Person puts in a hot boiling soup, a hot boiling coffee or tea, chametz in the mouth. Do you have to kasher it before Pesach? So this is a discussion. And the Stipler, Rav Yashiv, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, all of them say that even though with regards to Basar B'Chalav, we don't make them take out the dentures and boil them in between meat meal and milchik smith, that we don't do that halacha, so we don't make them do that. That's not required at all. And because the reason is that a person doesn't, an average person doesn't put boiling water, has to hit a boiling point to absorb any heat. You're putting hot soup in, it's not going to, sometimes it burns your tongue, but even then it's not boiling where it's going to absorb any heat. So that, company with the sheet of the Radbaz, that absorption only takes place if food is remaining in the pot. But food doesn't remain in your mouth, you swallow it, you it goes quickly. It's not considered being shohed there at all. So combining that Radbaz, that the food doesn't stay in the mouth for a long period of time. And number two, we could assume the average person doesn't put in such hot food into the mouth. We assume there is no blios when it comes to basar b'chalav in the dentures or the braces. But when it comes to Pesach, because of the chumrah of Pesach, so then there are those who are machmir that one should, in fact, take out these dentures and whatever you could take out and to pour boiling water. Because at best, it's not a klirishon in your mouth, obviously. It's iroi. You're taking soup and you're pouring it into your mouth. So that's the chumrah that all these, the gedolim suggest one should do.
It's like iroi, too shady.
Yeah, it's true. Fair enough. Fair enough. Right, you're not taking directly from the kettle into your mouth. Okay, it's true. I'm not sure. I think others just say you clean them very, very well. But he quotes here the Chuvas Beis Yitzchak that says a person doesn't swallow such hot water, and even with regard to Pesach, it's enough to simply wash them off, scrub them. And I think that's the practice. I didn't check up all the modern poskim, but I think that's what the general practice is. Also, I imagine certain bite plates might get ruined if you end up boiling it. So I don't know how dentures work exactly. But, okay. There ended up being an interesting discussion here about eating sharp foods. You know, sharp foods can bring about some, even things that became tam, that's balua. And we said after 24 hours, that becomes the now nosin tam lefkam. If you have something very, very sharp, so sometimes that could bring out the belios that might be there. So that's all discussion here. But at the end of the day, again, these are chumras that, again, you don't really have to do. Yes, I have the question.
I'm saying they may have a material that you can't kosher to begin with.
Well, plastic, many poskim, a number of poskim say you're allowed to.
No, dentures.
What are dentures made out of?
It's like a, I forget what it's called.
Okay. So the Stipler makes a suggestion here that a person should be careful 24 hours before Pesach not to have any burning hot chametz. Because then if you do, so now in your dentures now or your braces you have chametz, and within 24 hours it still has the tam, the belios are still there. So when Pesach starts and you might eat something else hot, you're going to bring about the chametz.
Why are they different than your teeth?
The teeth don't absorb anything. It doesn't. There's not a material in the teeth. It's not like metal. I don't know how teeth works exactly. But so that's a shiloh. That's why you wait 6 hours. The shiloh is 6 hours, but there's never a shiloh about there being tam in your teeth. It's not a material that, I guess, absorbs time. I don't know. Okay.
Ceramic.
Ceramic, okay.
I mean, different, not like a regular ceramic like we have, but it's a hard material.
Okay, so then, made dentures then wouldn't be kashable. Okay, fine. Let's go weiter in the Mechaber Sif Vav. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Kol kli holchin bo achar rova tashmisho. This is a very, very important klal. This comes up in many areas of kashrus, that you go based on most the most usage. What does that mean? Most usage, hilkach. Therefore, the example is, karos comes to a certain plate or a bowl, apa pisha lepamim mishamshin behem bekli rishon al ha'esh. So let's say you have a type of metal bowl that can be put on the stovetop. So sometimes you could use it as a kli rishon. We don't have a really good example I could think of that could be used as a kli rishon that we use as a kli rishon and a kli sheni. But let's say, for example, there's a metal bowl that can be used as a kli rishon. You could put it over the fire. And sometimes, in fact, you do use it as a kli rishon and boil water in there over the fire. Kaven shirov tashmishon hu be'eroi shima'ara alein mikli rishon. Since most times you don't actually boil water in there, but you pour boiling water into it as a kli sheni, kachu echsherem. So since most of the time this type of pot is used only with eroi kli rishon, not kli rishon itself, it's sufficient to simply kasher it through the way it's used most. That's what the Mechaber writes. But then there are marites v'yeshut machmir, and those who are machmir lahagil hakaros b'kli rishon. There are those who are machmir to go based on even the few times you use it as kli rishon. That should be a mach chumra, and v'chein hu aminag to kasher it in the most intense heat it was used with, namely kli rishon. Even though again it's only used minority of the times that way. V'chein b'chol davar sheyesh lachosh, any situation, any utensil that there's a concern that shema nishtamesh bo b'kli rishon, maybe you did, you don't remember, but perhaps you used it as a kli rishon as well, could go in kapos or kadomo lazer. So let's say a spoon. Spoons, you know, oftentimes spoons, soup spoons, are used as a kli sheni. You use it for a kli sheni, not so hot. But sometimes you might want to taste it Erev Shabbos, so the soup is busy boiling, and you want to taste a little soup to see how it is. So now that pot, that spoon, will just use in kli rishon. So even though rov tashmisha was kli sheni, there is a chashash maybe use this particular spoon for a kli rishon. V'chein v'yesh machmir m'lahagil kofan. That's the first point. So therefore, we're machmir to kasher everything in a kli rishon. I never heard anyone doing a kli sheni in kashering. I never saw it before. There's no need for it. You just put up boiling water over a fire and dip whatever you need to dip in there, even though it's a spoon. And the Ramah takes this even a step further. V'yesh machmir, and there are those who are stringent lahagil kol kli shtia, to kasher all cups, afa pisha tashmishin betonin. Most cups are used with cold water, soda, whatever you're putting in there, something cold, and something that was used with only tonin, only with cold, doesn't need to be kashered. All you have to do is wash it out. Mishum shilapamim mishtamshin ben becham. Sometimes you might put boiling water into the cup, or some tea or coffee, even though that's not the way you use it most of the time. Since on occasion you do, the practice is to always kasher all cups in a boiling water. So that's why a person's kashering a becher for Pesach, even though becher is only used for grape juice or wine, something that's cold, the practice is that we kasher everything in boiling water. V'chein hu aminag lahagilan, that's the practice. However, b'dieved sagilhu b'shtifa. Let's say a person completely forgot. All he did was wash it, and it's being used on Pesach. We're not going to say it's chametz, because really mikra din, you go based on rov tashmisho. Now, ukaros, he says further in the Ramah now, ukaros gedolos, large bowls, shelo yuchal lahachnis toch kli rishon. What do you do? Sometimes a person has a huge pot, and my pot can't fit into my other pot. I'm using a big kashering pot. This big. But I got another big pot, a chicken soup pot, which I can't put into the pot. So what am I supposed to do now? So the Ramah writes, what's the Eitzah? What you do is, Yitain Aleim Evan Meluban V'yare Aleim Roschen Mikli Rishon V'have Kikli Rishon. So then what you do is, you put that hot burning stone onto the Kli Rishon, onto this pot that's too big, and then you pour boiling water over it, and then that becomes a Kli Rishon. Because normally, if I've got a kettle, this is my kettle, I just boil it over water, so now over fire rather. So now this is boiling, it's a Kli Rishon. And I need to kasher this cup. So now what do? I put an oven inside there. When I pour the hot water over, normally this hot water into here will be Irui kli rishon. But since when it hits the stone on there, that iruik kli rishon actually gets elevated to a rishon itself, and therefore kashas, I'd have to hit it in every spot, the stone moving around, pouring the water over it. That way it's going to be considered a kli rishon and kashering this cup. And have the kli rishon, yeah.
Heat up the stone, and there's already water inside the pot, and then put the boiled hot stone in.
To have it overflow.
Yeah.
That's another eitzah as well. Another eitzah is to have it boiling water in there. You drop the stone in, and that could turn into
that's,
but
that's the kasher of the pot.
Yeah, that's the kasher pot, yeah.
Not another pot. We're talking about is another pot.
So why can't you do the same thing with the big pot?
Well, you just boil water in the big pot.
Oh, right. But you don't even need that, though, because you already kashered the pot itself. Once it's boiling water, that itself is a kli rishon.
Right.
You don't need the Evan Meluban to have it overflow.
Wait, so why isn't that enough?
So the Evan Meluban is used, that is enough. The Evan Meluban is used for, let's say, you wanted to kasher the sink and make the sink into a kli rishon. Problem, it's very hard. I know it's suggested, right? Four suggested, it's very hard to accomplish this. But let's say you want to be machmir and kasher your sink as a kli rishon.
Is this a kli rishon?
Well, I don't think so. So there's a case he talks about. So you fill up with hot water, but it's not kli rishon because there was no fire there. It came from a kli rishon, now it's a kli sheni. So you put an evan meluban in there. It's supposed to be strong enough, hot enough to cause everything to overflow, and that makes it into a kli rishon. I think that's the case that he's referring to. But the typical case of an evan meluban is placing it on the different areas of the pot and pouring the water over, making each of the spots now into a kli rishon. Yeah.
It seems easier. Like, it seems very, to me, in my mind, practically very difficult with the stone. To make sure you get all of the different places.
Sure.
So why wouldn't you have the pot? Why wouldn't you just boil water in that pot and then kosher it?
Oh, you're saying that pot itself, just boil it
why
out.
Why are you just filling it up and boiling water in there? Unless practically you can't do that.
I think the point is,
you can't,
well, maybe I'm wrong.
Do that?
No, I think, and I'm trying to remember this now. I think they say because you have to get the lips of on the top of the pot, I think also, which you're only going to get by putting Evan Lubin in afterwards. I think that's maybe what they're suggesting. I'm forgetting now.
Why is the pot itself?
That's what we're talking about, making the pot itself kosher.
Right, so why is he suggesting using the stone over here?
That's what he's asking, right. Why can't the water itself be considered a kli rishon?
He's saying put the stone and then pour water. Eroy, he's not talking about letting it. He's not talking about the way Mikey did it.
Correct. He's not talking. Mikey says, why not? Why not?
I think maybe the case here is you can't practically. They didn't have burners and stuff like we did back then. Maybe they physically couldn't take this pot. The situation, you can't put it on the burner and boil the water on it. Maybe it's a massive pot. It wouldn't fit. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
When you don't have the ability to boil the water, if you had the ability to boil the water, that would suffice. But if you can't do that, if you can't turn it into a kli rishon, that's obviously the case. You can't boil it as a kli rishon, then you have to take the stone and kosher it that way.
Right, I guess so. I guess. Could be. Yeah. No, we're diving after this. 9:30.
9:30, we have five. So. Okay.
Men?
Okay, let's finish Ramah now. Ramah writes, "V'yavir ha'evan al kol kli ha'sha'az magia kulo." You have to make sure the evan and the pouring of the water hits every single spot. So look at the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Nun. This is what we addressed last night about the countertops. The Mishnah Berurah writes, "V'yitein aleim evan meluban v'chein nogin linen hechsher ha'shulchanos v'hasafsal." And that's the practice of kashering tables and table and counters. To use an evan meluban, v'inagev hashulchan tchila, first dry it off very well. Kadei shelo yitztanein hamayim harozchin sheshofich. If there's, let's say, cool water on it, and then you pour boiling water afterwards, that cool water is going to have it cool immediately. So first clean everything off, and then put the evan meluban and hot water over that spot, or throughout on every spot of the counter. Okay, one second here. Look at the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Nun Aleph now. Havei k'kli rishon. He says when you do the Evan Meluban along with the Iroi, that makes everything into a kli rishon itself. Rotolomar dafagav deinze elav Iroi. Even though you're pouring hot water, Bikomakum Kavan Shuayday, Evan Maluban, since you're using it in conjunction with Evan Maluban, Ein Maniya Chamaim Litstanin. That prevents the water from cooling off when it would normally hit the countertop, that's when it cools off. But since it's hitting the stone, it doesn't cool off. The Havakilu Nisanon Bisoch Klirishon is if you actually place the Evan Maluban into the Kli itself. It's like a Klirishon.
So what if it cools off? Once it touches it, once that boiling water touches,
I guess bevas achas.
For time, how long?
I guess they come bevas achas. They come at the same time. It's never you know 212. The moment it hits, it immediately hits 190, whatever it's going to be.
When you put a fork into a boiling thing, at a certain point, it cools.
No, if it's over the Kli Rishon, it's not going to. It shouldn't cool it. I don't think that much.
I'm saying once the boiling water touches. If we believe it works, then it works, right?
What are you asking? Why you have to dry it first?
No, I'm saying why was the difference if the countertop is going to cool the water?
No, he's saying only if there's water on the countertop, and now you throw the water on, it's going to hit that water first.
No, he's not saying only that. He's saying in general, whenever you do Iwer Kli Rishon, so when it hits the counter, even a dry counter, it gets cool. It's not going to be considered Kli Rishon itself. It gets cooled off. It gets hits.
Once it hits it.
Right, that's what he's saying. That's why you need Evan Maluban.
It's already kosher. And that second, right. It becomes
no,
kosher.
No, it's not saying that, but it's saying when it hits it, it's already Iwer Kli Rishon. It hits it and becomes cool at the very same moment. But if you put the hot stone there so it doesn't cool off and it remains the temperature of 212 or above, and therefore it's going to be Kli Rishon as it hits it, as opposed to Iwer Kli Rishon. All right, I don't know. Do the science. You can measure it. I don't know how that works in terms of the degrees, but this is what the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, writes. So then the Mishnah Berurah writes, Ein Bel Yerabba Shechri Ladina, Da'al Kol Panim Ein Moil Hagala Aydei Avanim El Bekara. Avanim only works in a kara, plate, or a bowl. Ukiyotzi Bazeh, Shirov Tashmishin Hurak Aydei Iroi Mikli Rishon, only if it was used with pouring water, hot water onto it. Mashain came bedavar shirov tashmishin hu bekli rishon. If something was mostly used with the actual kli rishon, eino moyel lahagib ofenze. This approach of Evan Maluban doesn't work if it was really a kli rishon. The lahavik kli rishon mamish. It's not really like a kli rishon. It's somewhere in between a kli rishon and an iwer kli rishon. Well, nias daiti nira says the Mishnah Berurah. So long as you know it's 24 hours has passed, which is what we normally do anyways. We always recommend before ever kashering something to Hagala, any levels of Hagala, whether Kli Rishon, Iwer Kli Rishon, or Kli Sheni, we say always wait at least 24 hours. Okay, how are we doing with time here? Okay, let's now go to Sifches. Sifches, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Echad Kli Eitz, Echad Kli Evan, Echad Kli Mateches, whether it's wood, stone, or metal, Dinam L'Hachshirin B'Hagala, the practice is to use Hagala to kasher them, V'chein Kli Etzem, Tzrichim Hagala, so too when it comes to bone, all these require Hagala, pretty straightforward. Siftes, says the Mechaber, HaMagil Kodim Shoach HaMishis, if let's say you start doing Hagala before the fifth hour of Erev Pesach, we know after the fifth hour, Chametz already is considered Aser, so if you're doing it before the fifth hour where Chametz is still Mutter, Yachal Ahagil B'yachad Kli Rishon Kli Sheni V'Kelim Shebalu Davar Mu'at V'Eino Choshesh. You could put together all types of Kalim, even though one Kali was used Kli Rishon, the other one Kli Sheni, we're not concerned that they're going to change the status of all them. You can put everything together and you're not concerned. Okay, fine. Now this is, it gives the impression you could throw a lot of things into the pot at one time. It's not really true. You can, but you have to be very, very careful. Seth was pointing this out before. When you do drop utensils into the boiling water, it does bring down the temperature. The boiling, the bubbling does stop sometimes. You put 20 spoons in, it's going to bring down the boil, and then they're going to have to reboil it. So you have to, you know, in order to maintain the boiling, it's recommended to only put a couple, two or three in at a time or so, and then take them out immediately. Also, what happens if you put too many in at the same time, you're going to have the utensils lying on each other, and it may not be hit with the hot water because they're blocking each other. So it's recommended two, three at a time. The way you do this, you have the water boiling, you should put on some dish gloves and drop two or three in right away, and it should be taken out right away, and then we'll see this later on in the Mechaber, but I'll just mention this now, and then you run it under cold water immediately. The reason for that is because now it has hot water on it. Now, if you leave it in too long, so it's like back and forth. I mean, you have chametz in the spoon, so it comes out. But then there's chametz in the water, so it goes back in. And then it comes out, and then it goes back in. So you put it in for like a split second, but now there's hot water on it, which might have chametz in it. So you immediately put it under cold water in order to prevent any of that hot water chametz getting back into the spoon. That's how one does hagala. The halacha applies also. Let's say you do a kli is so big and you can't put the whole kli into the pot, so you could do piecemeal. Right. You do half this way and then the other half that way. You could switch these things around. That's permitted as well. There's no difference, which is an important halacha to mention as well. Meaning what? Let's say you have a large pot. We know when it comes to tevilas kelim, and you go to a small mikvah and you're kashering a huge utensil and it doesn't fit in, you can't put it in half and then the other half. For tevilas kelim, the entire kli must be immersed altogether bevas achas. When it comes to a gala, you can do half and then the other half. You could stick in this end of the spoon, take it out, and then stick in the other end of the spoon, and that would work to do a gala as well. But again, that doesn't work for tevilas kelim. Okay, let's stop here. Tomorrow night, we'll see if there's going to be Haggadah this year. If it's snow, we'll push off to Thursday night. We'll pick up the halacha shir, Mir Tashem. Should we do next week? You guys want to continue? I know Ezra's not around.